And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez. And Brian, you're back.
I am.
Where have you been?
3 weeks on the road. I was in South Africa. I was in South Korea. I was in Malaysia and Japan for the Visual Studio 2012 launch events. My Stylin' purple sweater.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, so it was awesome. My first time to Korea and Japan. I've been the other places before. But man, I gotta say, you've been to Korea and Japan.
Yes.
It's like visiting the future. It's amazing. Like seriously, everything's high tech. The people are very, I found them to be very polite and orderly, and even the toilets are high tech.
You know what I love about a culture? One that's orderly. Yes. That's normally how I describe my highlights
when
traveling.
Well, it's like, you know, there's a ton of people. Tokyo, I think, is the most populous, densely populated city.
But it doesn't feel
that way because everybody's really, you know, polite and orderly and everything.
Until you try and take one of the commuting trains in the morning. That stuff.
Yes, they will physically, like, I thought it was just, yeah, they'll physically push you under the train to squeeze everybody in like sardines.
Yes.
But, you know, one interesting thing, we've got a lot of stuff to get into, but one interesting thing.
Yes.
In Korea, I was talking to them about kind of the mobile app marketplace and, you know, everybody is like just married to their phone 24/7 in Korea.
Totally different than the U.S., sure.
Well, no, like to the extreme. Okay. And the most popular app is an app called Didi. It's for designated driver. So when you're out drinking, you call, you look at the app and it'll find someone near you that's a designated driver. And I said, well, wait a minute, why don't you just get taxis? These people actually come to you, they will drive your car to your house so that it's at your house the next morning, and then they'll find someone else to like get a ride home.
That's awesome.
That's the most popular app.
Why? So, we need the American version.
I know, right? So get on that, Channel 9 people.
Yes.
Make it happen.
Now let's get started, because we got a lot of good stuff
yes,
going on.
Yes, let's get started.
And our friends at MSN Magazine have a special Windows 8 episode, issue.
Yes.
So
yes.
This includes friends...
Jason Olsen.
Yes. Un Yong.
Pete Brown.
Doing the MVVM.
Yeah, a ton of...
Like, Jeremy Likeness.
This is the who's who Likeness. Of the developer evangelist and
Rachel
product
Appel.
Team community. Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of good stuff. I read through the MVVM one, and it's really sort of more a review of using Laurent's MVVM model library with Windows Store app. So a lot of things that are very similar. But people, for example, that aren't familiar with XAML and C++, like, it's a great starting place article.
Right, and if you're not an MSDN subscriber, you can still get all the articles, if I'm not mistaken. They're just all online now.
Yeah.
It's part of the MSDN magazine.
So definitely cool stuff.
Awesome.
Brings us to NuGet for Windows Store app developers.
Yeah, so this talks about the default NuGet feeds that you get in Visual Studio Express for Windows. So so by default, you know, most anybody can publish a NuGet application and it can go out there. But what they chose to decided to do with this particular feed, they call it a curated feed, is that's actually reviewed by Microsoft to make sure that these add-ins and other things you might be downloading as part of your NuGet packages meet a certain quality bar and are,
awesome.
I don't know if guaranteed is the right word, but they've been evaluated to
vetted.
make sure that they will work correctly with Windows RT.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Definitely cool stuff. Speaking of cool stuff, there's a lot of cool things going on with the Connect for Windows SDK. And this is actually a Q&A with Peter Zetluko. God, I hope I got that right. And Bob Heddle from the Connect for Windows SDK team. And that's a picture of Bob. You can see some of the new things that we have with the infrared functionality that people have been asking for to be able to support infrared lights, kind of low-level features within the SDK. So if you're interested in learning more, definitely read the Q&A in terms of what's new, what people are going to like, and some of the things, for example, that they're doing and adding samples for human interaction guidelines. So for example, being able to draw effectively the hitbox that you're using as a developer for your app.
So this is a new set of libraries that you can
It's a new
with.
Release of the Connect for Windows SDK, but they talk about some of the things that happen in developing the process, what developers are going to like, and really also as well as how the Connect for Windows SDK team is sort of organized.
Hmm.
So they do, you know, on the technical side or dev side, it's, you know, people working SDK or samples and so on, versus Bob, which is more scenario based, which is bringing these things together and walking through.
Any updates available now or it's coming?
I don't know off the top of my head. I think it should be available now.
Oh, okay.
It should definitely be available now.
Definitely. You heard it here first.
Connect for Windows SDK releases SDK update, yeah.
Oh, okay. Great.
You scare me with that.
It seemed like a relevant question. So this is Web Platform Docs. So basically what this is it's a joint effort across a ton of vendors as well as the W3C to basically create this this wiki-style model for describing all of the evolving standards that are out there in the web programming body, if you will. And so I took a look through the site. It's pretty basic today. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, but if you're so inclined, you can contribute to the documentation and help provide just kind of this growing body of knowledge that can help people understand everything from, you know, what is the spec down to how do you use that within, you know, browser XYZ and so forth.
Yeah, and it's kind of the who's who of in there. Facebook's in there, right?
Is Facebook in there?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And Nokia and Google and Apple
and
Adobe.
Netscape still?
I did not see Mozilla.
Oh, okay.
Natural, right. Kind of.
Right. So it'll be interesting to watch that evolve.
Yeah. So Anders Helsberg and Lars Bak. I'm sure a lot of people know Anders, and we've had him on for TypeScript. This was Charles at the GoTo conference in Aarhus, and had Lars Bak, the creator of the V8, or I should say one of the principal designers of the V8 JavaScript engine for Chrome, as well as one of the people working on Dart. And they have this great conversation on sort of pros and cons and things with JavaScript and differences between TypeScript and Dart. So definitely a lot of mutual respect, and I love these conversations. It's like two people just kind of going at it. So,
but who won?
I don't know. It wasn't competitive. It really wasn't competitive.
Come on.
Meaning Anders won.
Of course.
No, I'm just kidding. No, but I think it was. There was definitely a lot of mutual love.
Nice.
Or appreciation, respect, all right. Whatever you want to call it.
Mad props.
Cool.
So this is a friend of Channel 9, G. Andrew Duffy. And he's got this great article here that talks about how the Maps application, which actually ships as part of Windows 8, is something that you can actually hook into from your application and start taking advantage of what's in there as well. So rather than go out and build your own kind of mapping framework, if you just need to access Maps functionality from within your application, then just party on.
Yeah, actually, I didn't know, you know, all the features that exist on this one, but it's definitely cool. Watch the demo just to see what's built into the platform. Certainly for people that are building map applications, it just does a lot of the work just built in.
Yeah, so for example, like, let's assume that you were Apple and you were going to ship, you know, the next
device
instead of shipping your own map. All right, we won't go there.
Yes,
we can,
thank you.
We can edit that out.
Yes, that's great.
But it's true. So this is the essential guide to testing your Windows 8 game. So I really like this because what it does is it basically steps through all the different criteria that the people that are reviewing the Windows 8 store applications will go through when they're evaluating your game. So rather than submit your game and kind of, you know, sit back and hope and wonder whether or not it's going to come out the other side approved, this is kind of the set of acceptance criteria that are spelled out for you so that you can make sure that that you do your best to meet this criteria as opposed to being surprised down the road.
Yeah, definitely some cool stuff.
Yeah.
The HTML5 game starter kit for Windows 8. So I definitely like this. This is the idea is you start off with a template that includes a lot of the things that you're going to need, whether it's you know, obviously basing itself off the Microsoft template, so whether it's knowing the different layouts and orientations, as well as starting off for, hey, let me include libraries for things like Easel.js. Let me include ways that we're making sure that we're loading our content. Let me make sure that we're hooking into things for controlling our positioning of our canvas. So in the game, you can kind of see a quick screenshot of it in the right corner. It's just a very simple one. There's ghosts coming and you move a character within there. So, but it's a simple starter kit, but if you've never done, say, canvas development or wanted to say how to do things like a game loop or, mm-hmm. you know, how do you make sure that your character doesn't fall through the floor, all those kinds of things. Are built in, and it's a multi-part tutorial.
Okay.
So, definitely a good see if you're looking to build games using HTML5 and Canvas.
That's great.
Cool. And that brings us to large data sets in Windows 8, and this is syncing data sets to SQLite. So our friends at Clarity Consulting did a multi-part series talking about how, okay, so we have Windows 8, we have SQLite support. What we want to do is show some examples of how you can actually have a local database and synchronize your data to that. So this kind of goes through step by step, like, hey, we're going to have our sync API. Here is how we call it. And even though the app itself is written using HTML and JavaScript, the data layer they wrote using C#, and it says it's just in a lot of cases easier to do that. So the synchronization tasks, which you know take a method, which can then take any table and synchronize each table individually, and it's just sort of factored out for reuse.
Okay.
So if you're looking for examples for how to do data synchronization and how to use SQLite, it's a great example.
Okay, great.
Cool, and that brings us to improving your app's performance with PerfView.
Yeah, we actually talked about this video with Vance Morrison a few weeks ago, and in the video he goes through and he talks about PerfView. This is kind of a broader contextual post that Brandon Bray, friend of Channel 9, put together, and it describes PerfView and specifically what scenarios you would use PerfView in for diagnosing your application, your .NET application's performance and being able to identify bottlenecks and that sort of thing. So so obviously Visual Studio for a long time has had profiler and memory debugging tools that are built into it, but in this article and in the accompanying video that Charles did, Vance and Brandon walk through why you would use PerfView versus Visual Studio for some of these scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cool stuff.
Which brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week!
So my Pick of the Week is called In Place. And so this is the idea is that if you are working with a touchscreen monitor, maybe it's a big touchscreen monitor like you might have in a conference room, or maybe it's just a Slate device that you're painting with. This is kind of a innovation from Microsoft Research where they say rather than just assume that we're going to put all the menu bars at the top or off to the side, why not let the user just tap anywhere on the screen, pull up a contextual menu based on maybe changing the brush size if it's a paint application, and then being able to party on from there. So I just like this way of thinking. It's I haven't seen this addressed by any other technology or vendors. So nice to kind of see that evolving and really bringing the controls to the user as opposed to making the user kind of adapt to whatever the traditional UI of the application might be.
Cool. And my pick of the week, which is more awesome, which is difficult to do, is the Digis Hand Tracker, which is freehand 3D computer interaction without gloves, and also from our friends at MSR. So if you check out that bottom right picture, what's going on is there's an IR camera and a couple other things within the sensor itself, and it's actually recording almost exactly, and you can see the performance of it just by watching the video.
Yeah, you have to watch the video.
Of how quickly it can track the different positions of your hands, your gestures, and they show the shooting game, doing continuous input and discrete as well. So you can do all sorts of things. And probably one of the funnest examples was using it as well, where you're using a touch device. I use a touch device and then also doing gestures on top of that touch device. So imagine like I had a book and you have like sort of a natural, you want to be able to do that. Or you have something, I'm selecting something, then you're using different hand gestures to manipulate it. So this is awesome. I want one now.
It is awesome. I mean,
take my money.
Yes, if you watch the video, it's amazing. I think the only thing they need to do, of course, is get the display or get the size of this clunky camera down so that it could be like part of your watch or something that's a little bit
more. Part of your watch would be kind of cool, although I don't like wearing watches. I'd wear this though. Just to be like Spidey Sense.
Yes. That'd be pretty awesome. So Dan's gonna go get his
Spidey Sense on.
Spidey Sense on, and we will see you next week.
Thanks guys. Thank you.